be talking because there we go. Good morning, Rock Bible Church.
Good morning, Scott.
It is good to see you this morning. All right, Sally's happy to see me. Everybody else is like, yeah, whatever. You're what we expected, Scott. Man, would love for you to join us on Monday nights, 7 o'clock. We go out in the back, fire pit, circle up, cook some sausages, open the scripture, and we've been talking about Peter and how he carried himself after the Gospels in the book of Acts, after all the big reveals. Jesus is resurrected and ascended and met with Peter, and the game's all changed. And a goofy guy from the Gospels has left, and now we got leader Peter, and we're looking at him now. So, love for you to join us. If you have questions about that, come see me afterwards. Would love to answer any of those for you. Today, after service, right back here in the fellowship hall, we're going to be having our membership class. If you're interested in membership, or just like to come ask some questions or whatnot, we're going to go over a few things for a few minutes, and then we'll let you off to your lunch. But we'd love for you, anybody who's interested in that, come connect with us right after this in the fellowship hall. And then next week, week from today, same time, right after this, in the hall, baptism. A little one short meeting for anybody who's interested in baptism. We're going to go through the top 10 reasons of what and why we do it. And we'll have a little fun. And then those of you who have yet to follow the Lord in baptism, you can have that opportunity and understand it. And so we'd love to have you with us next Sunday, the 29th. And then I think there's something coming up that's really big. Is it Easter? That's right. Prior to Easter, the week before Easter, the triumphal entry, they call it sometimes. More commonly, it's called Palm Sunday. Yes. Everybody comes, we're going to paint palms, do palm readings. Is that what it is? No, we don't do that. Palm branches. We're going to have the kids out here, and they're going to do some stuff with actual palm branches and the whole thing. It's going to be fun. Would love for you to invite some friends. Bring people. This is how people come to know the Lord. Is the best way is word of mouth from friends. So go ahead and invite them. And we got a little bumper here, fun Palm Sunday promo for you to watch. Here it goes. Go. Did you catch all those scriptures?
Sure.
Man, we're gonna cover all of them that Sunday. We'll cover all of it. So, let's talk about the Lord. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for our time. Thanks for what we sang. Specifically, caught my attention the idea that we will not be captivated by our fears. I pray as we talk about some of that and mostly you this morning through your word, that you would guide and bless our time. We're so thankful for all the opportunities that we have, Lord, and yet we focus on what we think we're missing, what we think we know. And so I pray, Lord, give us inspiration, maybe some conviction, but give us energy and hope for as we walk out of here. And we pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're continuing our series in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. We're chapter 8. Today we're going to do the first 25 verses. I want to make sure that we set you up for success and let you know what's coming. There's going to be this idea of mystery or misunderstanding or, hey, explain this to me. Maybe secret. Anybody ever wondered what God was doing or what God wanted or why did God do this to me or did God do this? You know, the mystery, the secrets. Hey, how come I was born this way? How come they act that way? How come this never happens? How come this always happens? All those questions, anybody? Just me? Probably, I know. So this morning's just for me. Just thanks for being here and listening along. But we got all these secrets. And I want you to see at the top, the title, Celebrating Secrets. A lot of times, secrets are, I mean, unless it's a surprise party, secrets can be scary. They may make us afraid. They make us doubt. Maybe wonder, how's this going to turn out? And they can kind of make us feel as if we're missing something, or we're short on something. And I want to reinforce the idea today that if something's secret, it's because God has yet to want you to know. And if it's a mystery, it's an unknown, it's on purpose. Well, why does he make me wait? He's trying to teach you patience. No, it might be the reason. Generally, there's a much better reason. And my experience in life is I hate waiting. I do not want to develop my patience skill. I want immediacy, instant gratification. I want everything through the drive-thru. I've been slowly figuring it out that God works differently than I expect / want. And he has a different agenda than mine. And as much as I dislike it, I must admit it's better. His agenda, it's better than my agenda. And there have been so many times where I wanted something, or I was expecting something, or I made something happen, only to find out that it would have been better if I'd just gone with the program. That's what we're going to see this morning. And so we're going to talk about celebrating secrets this morning. And we're going to walk through what do you do with secrets and that kind of thing. We're going to look at several different passages as we do this. But I almost called it something else instead of celebrating secrets. I'll tell you what that is later. All right. Little teaser. Luke chapter 8, verse 1, here we go. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. He started to travel. He's been in Galilee and in different places. And the 12 were with him. Also, some women had been healed. They were with him of evil spirits, infirmities. Mary called Magdalene. From the 7 demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager. He's got Roman. Roman's following him now, right? From Herod's own house. I love that. Susanna and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and the people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable. This is the famous parable of the sower of the seeds. A sower went out, verse 5, to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and it grew up, and it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I love this phrase. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What does that mean? Can you stop right there and just explain? What are you saying? What do you think he's saying? Listen. Okay, listen. That's that famous phrase parents have used on kids as far back as it goes. You're not listening. You heard me, but you didn't listen. Right? Is he asking for discernment? Let's state the obvious. Did he speak in code just now? It's a parable. It's an analogy. He used symbolism. Is the word of God an actual seed? Does the word of God come from a tree and it has a physical seed that you could buy a bag of 15 of them for 49 cents? It's not literal. Can a bird come and take your faith away? Right. So what's he saying at the end? He's saying, guys, understand, this has to be worked on. It's a little bit of a mystery, and I'm going to play it as a mystery. What, you know, he did this on purpose. Why would he do that? It's a great question for us to ask today, because really, God ever do anything in code with you? How about daily? Where things show up and you're kind of looking at them sideways going, I wonder what's going on there. You have an odd interaction with a person and you walk away going, what just happened? Do I need to recheck in with them, or do I need to give them some space? I mean, let's get into all the other codes and things like health, habits, indulgences, temptations. They're all mysteries in a lot of ways, and they all have secrets attached to them. And Jesus is saying, hey, look, this game's complicated, super complicated. And at the same time, it's very simple. But you must work at it, work on it. It's a little more complicated than 2 + 2. He says, you got to listen, you got to hear. When his disciples asked him what his parable meant, he said, to you, watch this. I love this. This is part of what got me thinking about it, the way we're looking at it today, this week. To you, it has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. There's our word. I love that. Why do I love that so much? Do you love it like I love it? Why would you love it? If you love it like I love it, why do you love it? I'm in the in crowd. I mean, I'm a sports guy, so I think, oh, I got a uniform. I'm on the team. I get to know the secrets. All right? Huh? And not just any secrets, like how to cook good pasta, which is important, but not that important. I get to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. And that's great, because I regularly live in the kingdom of Scott. Very small kingdom. A lot of tragedy. Very inefficient. Okay, so I get to be in the in crowd. I get to know the secrets, right? What part about this is also like the kingdom of God? I just accentuated that. So two really good things. There's a bad thing in here. You find it? What is it? He who has eyes to read, let them read. Who has brain to think, let them think. What's the bad part of that sentence? To you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. What's the bad part? Wait, there's secrets in the kingdom? I thought God was gracious and loving. If I ask for forgiveness, he accepts me. I have salvation. Kumbaya. What do you mean? In this life, you will have trouble? You know, that's a verse. In this life, you will have trouble. I read that as a teenager for the first time. I thought, oh, shoot, I'm out. I'm going to go get a Slurpee. What do you mean? I'm not signing up for that. It's going to be tough. There are going to be secrets. There are things you won't know until you get where? To heaven? Why would he withhold? I mean, shouldn't some of this stuff he should just tell me, right? Can you just tell me who my wife's going to be, how many kids I should have, what job I should work at, when I should leave said job, and should I buy that car or eat at this restaurant? I mean, could he just script it out for me? Why would that be terrible? For those of you who like to mumble, speak up. Why would that be terrible? No choice. No thinking. No ownership. No fun, no creativity. I mean, I think one of the greatest things about relationships is that you have to flirt, you have to dance, you have to kind of date. It takes a long time. And man, it's hard work. Ask Julie. Right? There's secrets. I know one of my most common prayers is, Lord, I wish you would reveal this. Explain me that. Tell me, what are we supposed to do? The church is in this condition, like, what do we, how do we respond to that? So-and-so needs that. I'm down. They're down. What, come on, Lord, give me direction, leading. Some people, I heard it talked about this week, calling. Lord, give me a calling this week. Well, how do you know? How do you know if you're supposed to pull up all your stakes and go to a whole nother state? Take a job and go. There's no way to know for sure. It's a mystery. There's secrets in that. Yeah, you know how it's going to play out. And you show up and a bunch of people get fired, and next thing, everything's different than it was sold to you. What do you do with that? Oh, this was the Lord's divine will for your life, that you might suffer in the wilderness. Welcome to the South. That's my experience. What questions do we ask in those moments? More scary, what thoughts do we let in? What emotions, what negative emotions do we run with? I hear the disciples asking a question like, Jesus, can you explain this to us? And Jesus says, yes, I can. In fact, I wanted you to ask. Maybe that's why he said it in code, so he would see their interest and they would make an effort, and he rewards the effort. That's great news for you. In the midst of secrets, in the midst of mystery, in the midst of the unknown, midst of fear or hope, whatever it is, doubt or future, you have an opportunity to make an effort, and he will reward that effort. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. I feel like this is making more and more sense to me today than ever, and I think it's going to continue to make more and more sense. I figured out this, I know this is going to be groundbreaking for you, that most of the world functions from a different worldview than us Christians. That just blew my mind the other day, because we were watching a show. And it was one of these reality things. It's not scripted. And some of the things that people were doing, Julie and I are like, I don't get it. I was like, oh, yeah. Love your neighbor is, that's a cute thought that they think they may have heard one time, but that they don't function from that. Jesus is not the author of their faith, the leader of their priorities. And so they're going to do other things. And when you come and you talk about Jesus and the idea that he would sacrifice for others, you see anybody anywhere in our culture sacrificing for somebody else? No. They will sacrifice others for themselves. That's what our culture, that's how they function. So to try and expect grace from them or teach them faith, mercy, all these great fruits of the Spirit, we got to be careful, because unless they understand Jesus, know Jesus, they have accepted him as Lord and Savior, and then they've done the wrestling of the cross and what does that mean for them, this stuff's going to be confusing for them. You ever had a conversation with a non-Christian about God and thought to yourself, I don't think they're getting it, or I don't think they want it? You got to keep at it. And you got to be firm in your own foundation first. And that's why Jesus says, look, I want you to understand this. I want you to know how the kingdom works. And some won't get it, but you can, you will. Here's what it means. Now, the parable means this, verse 11. The seed is the word of God, and the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes, takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Verse 13. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. Drop roots. There's nothing really for them to hold on to. Oh wait, there's going to be trouble in this life? Oh, no, I'm out. I'm off to 7-Eleven. They just cut out easily. And as for the what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit. Amen? Can we stop there? Please, please, can we stop there? I just want to stop right there. What's with this patience thing? With patience. When I have to exercise patience, I always think of, yeah, and there's going to be some patience left on the ground behind me as I'm having to wait. Because I want to hurt somebody if I have to wait. I don't like this. What does patience always require? In order for patience to happen, there's a prerequisite. It has nothing to do with you. It's this four-letter word, starts with T. It's a concept God has created and is not bound by, and yet every time there's patience, time is involved. Now, I like time when it's short and sweet and to the point. Oh, very little time. When time's long, well, I have to wait. When you're at the DMV and you're number 76 and they're on four, why do people make appointments?
They don't have to be 76.
Time. If there's time involved with hearing the word of God and having it penetrate within you and then grow, if time is involved, what's that imply? What's going to be needed beyond patience? Faith, trust, effort, clarity of mind. I mean, there's faith. What's the other side, the negative side? D,
doubt.
You're going to, mental strength, emotional fortitude. There's going to be some things that are going to have to go on when you have to deal with something for a while. I've tried to teach this to my children. One of my favorite ways is when they ask, how long? Blah, 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 blah. Question mark. Wait, it should be this way, right? Blah, 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 blah. Question mark. Okay. I say, later. I've done it to you in sermons way back. Why do they hate that answer? There's no specifics. Like later in 5 minutes? Later tomorrow? Later after I have my third kid? Like how long do I have to wait? Till it's time. How will we know? We'll know. Well, I want to know right now. How's it feel to want? We got to figure out how to deal with these things, how to think through these things. No one, verse 16, Jesus just keeps teaching, and he's going to change to a different analogy here. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. And we talk about this from time to time. I know in Christendom, in church, in your Christian experience, you've heard about, you know, light. You don't put it under a bushel, whatever. You put it up high, because light can be seen, right? It takes away the darkness, and maybe you get some shadows, but, oh, clarity, right? When you put your light up on a high thing so it lights the room, do you turn it on for a split second? You see everything and turn it off real quick? And then I got to remember, where was stuff, right? You leave it on for some time. There's a time aspect to this. We always think of it as just light. No, we need light and we need time, because it can take time for us thick-headed, hard-hearted people that are tempted in too many ways to get onto the right path. And I need it lit and I need time. And you ever take a test? This will be a timed exam. Immediately start stressing. Love that God gives us no end time. He just says, work on it. 4, verse 17. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. It's interesting, that phrase kind of ties together the two different parables, right? You got several different scenarios of seed falling in different areas, and oh, Jesus, what does that mean? He said, well, you know, it's going to be made manifest after a while, what you think is hidden. What that means, I mean, I explained it to you really quickly. When we start to experience it, witness it, and be around people that do, it's going to even gain more meaning, and that's going to take some time. And then he goes to the next analogy, and he says, because anything secret, it's going to be known. It's going to come to light over time, right? You can see why now a couple places he's used the word secret, which is why we get our title, verse 18. Take care, then, how you hear. We said that earlier. I asked you, what does it mean when he says to hear his ears, to hear, let him hear? I said, what does that mean? You said, listen. This is, sounds like what he's getting at again. How you hear is how you listen. For to the one who has, more will be given. Anybody signing up for more? More. Me likes more. Always. Except for when it's pain. There's a couple other negatives that fit on that category, but I like more, okay? One who has, more will be given. And the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. I love that. Because it gives me clarity. Even the things I think I own, they're not mine. In fact, I start to wonder if what I think I have applies to the positive side of this. For the one who has, genuinely has because the Lord has given it to him, not because they deserved it or they earned it or they're better than somebody or whatever. No, they have it because God has given it to them. God has blessed them. And maybe without reason, that's known. But if you'll listen and you'll engage and you'll pursue the Lord, you'll talk to him and be around people that do. If you'll fast and pray and tithe and serve, worship, sky's the limit. You get more. Verse 19, then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because he was in the crowd. And he was told, hey, your mother and brothers are standing outside. They want to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Ooh. How else would we say? It's one of my favorite words. It's four letters too. Starts with O. Rhymes with day. Obey. I think most Christians are yet to understand how many times the Bible talks about obedience and what it means to get in line. I praise God for the parents that he gave me. They were disciplinarians, and a lot of those letters were capitalized. This is how it works. In this house, we do this. Oh, you want to do that? Okay, time out. Go sit over there. I got punishments where I had to read books. What? I was a tree climber, rock thrower, spit off the bridger kind of person to sit and read a book. So I blame my mother for becoming a pastor. She got me into books. And it got me to see how does the system work? Whose system? The kingdom of God. I says, you can do this. One day he got into a boat with the disciples. He said to them, let's go across the other side of the lake. I love this. But what do you want to do? Oh, let's go over the other side of the lake. Why? See what's over there. No, why does he go across the other side of the lake? He wants them to hear as well. So they set out, verse 23, they sailed, and he fell asleep. Jesus, sleeping on the job. And a windstorm came down on the lake. And there was water, and they were in danger. Sea of Galilee is very interesting because a lot of Israel is sub-sea level. but then they also got mountains. And then you have areas that are like lots of greenery, and then other areas that are just like barren, I've never seen. And then all of a sudden there's a river running through it. And then up at the top, north, I mean, there's this big lake, Sea of Galilee. It's where the 10 cities where Rome had most their influence there. Jerusalem is farther down to the south and west a little bit. And the Jordan River comes out of the Sea of Galilee. It's down, okay? But around the Sea of Galilee, it's like you're down in a bowl. It's kind of cool. Almost like an amphitheater. But I was there, and I could tell this Lake Tahoe-sized kind of place, the wind would come down the mountain and down into the valley and come across the water, and it'd be smooth as day. And then all of a sudden, and I was like, ooh, this makes more sense to me. Here comes the front, and now they got a storm. Jesus is asleep. Verse 24, it woke him and said, Master, Master, we are perishing. Does anybody say perishing? True statement? Is very questionable. Are they afraid? Yeah. What's the secret going on here? Hey, Jesus, why are you sleeping? That's one of the secrets, right? What's the other secret? Perishing implies a secret. Are we going to perish? Is this the end? A couple different secrets going on. Like, hey, Jesus, time for you to get up. Assume your role. He awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. And there was a calm. That's too bad the calm didn't start with the disciples. In the midst of the questions and the secrets of the storm, if they had stayed calm, I wonder what had gone differently. He said to them, where is your faith? That's a great question. In fact, it is the purpose of the first parable. Hey, you got the seeds that fall in these different kind of things, and there's the devil, and there's the, you know, temptations, and there's, you know, you spent no time in it because you were, you know, on the rock, no roots, blah, blah, blah. What's the real question that's meant to come out of that parable? Where's my faith? Which seed am I? Which path? Where do I fall in the kingdom of God? And we get through the two analogies and then the real life experience of the storm, and Jesus says, are you guys catching the object lesson here? Where's your faith? When a little wind kicks up, you start running. Where do you stand in all this? And they were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another. No problem. Having fun. When the storm's calm, that's how happy they were. That's the object lesson for today, okay? They said to themselves, who then is this? That he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. Ooh. I mean, folks, don't we have to believe that he caused the storm on purpose and fell asleep on purpose so that he can come back and show them what obedience looks like? At the very end, hey, this is what obedience looks like. When the wind and the waves do what I tell them, are you catching it, guys? Be like the wind and the waves. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen? Amen. I was studying for this and prepping, and we landed on celebrating secrets because we want to see the positive side. All through this, I'm thinking, if I'm in those stories, if I'm hearing the parables and living the storm and that whole thing, I'd be thinking, I want to survive the secrets. There's too many secrets, and am I going to survive, right? Or am I going to perish? The question the disciples asked. So if you want, for fun, right underneath celebrating, you could put surviving as well, because they're both legitimate questions.
What do we do in the face of secrets? Let's understand some things about them. Number one, what's the fear of a secret? I know something you don't know. How do you feel? Was somebody like, I remember as a kid, people, you know, they get a secret. Hey, Scotty, I know something you don't know. And immediately I'm feeling what? Curiosity, doubt, frustration, because I'm left out. You've heard this acronym, it's super famous now, FOMO. You know any people that suffer from the disease, fear of missing out, FOMO? I have some that are related to me. It's insane. The problem with secrets is we think they're gonna take something away. I'm gonna lose something. Something's gonna get ruined. Negative, right? That's the feel of this first word that starts with C. What do secrets do? You know, if I post the wrong things, the rest of social media will, they'll cancel me, right? Secrets cancel something. Secrets are great in this way. They cancel what you think you know. I love that Jesus says, even those who think they have something, that will be taken away from them. You think you have your health? Let's go to your next medical appointment and see what scores you get. How about this one? You think you're sick? Let's go to your next appointment and watch God pour his blessing and glory on you. I've met both. I've been both. What am I to take from that? Well, it's totally unpredictable. Going to the doctor's office is a crapshoot. Let's flip a coin. No. What we learn from that is there's always more going on than what you think. And your fear of the unknown, your fear of future, your fear of potential loss can get canceled out if you'll have the faith to wait and say, not what I know, but what he knows. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. In the midst of secret, in the midst of doubt, in the midst of panic or confusion over what may or may not be, the more we can stand in his love. That sounds like a nursery rhyme and a devotional thought. How do I do that, Scott? How do you? How do you do that? Let's get some answers. This is the interactive portion of the morning. How do you stand in the Lord's love? Pray about it. Here's a hint. You're doing it right now. Worship. Come to church. Spend time with other Christians. And talk about something other than whatever you think you're stuck in. Stop navel gazing and go do something for someone else. To serve someone, would you be standing in the Lord's love?
Yes.
Yeah, because you're loving your neighbor?
Yes.
Right? Could you read scripture? Listen to music or a podcast as you're driving. There's so many ways to stand in your love. Fasting and such, when you get your mind changing from what you're spinning on, because that's what you've been thinking about, you need to then replace it with his thoughts. What would God say about this? What do I think he's saying to me now? In fact, what has he said to me about things like this in the past? What's his track record? What's his character? What's his heart, his nature? What is his goal? And here it is, I'll give it to you, okay? Blessing. Blessing. And maybe your best thing to ask him is, Lord, how will you bless me through this? Because this looks like a tragedy and a train wreck. Where's the blessing in this, Lord? If you want to make the varsity team in Christianity,
after you pray, how are you, am I going to be blessed in this? You can make a varsity team by asking what? How can I be a blessing to someone else? You want to make the college team? Who is that that I should go bless? Your problem, your thought, whatever, it's going to disappear pretty quickly. And if you want to go pro, you want to go pro in your relationship with the Lord. God, what do you want me to do that I might be a blessing to you in this? Whew. No more calm, no more waves, no more wind. You're going to be in calm. And you didn't listen to a podcast, and you didn't read a scripture, and you didn't do all those other things. You didn't have to meet with Scott. You're in great shape. You got to let secrets lose their power for the negative, and then you got to enjoy the things that it will reveal, the things that it will cancel, right? So number one, it's not just what you thought you knew, but it's also what you think you know. I love both of those. I had to do them both. Number two, what do secrets foster? Could be. Sally? Fear's a good one. It can. On the positive side, what could it foster? Also starts with F. Faith? Secrets can foster faith. Why? Because if you wait, if you take some time, instead of doing the jerk reaction, the knee-jerk action, right? I call it the jerk reaction. Stick the knee out. Then you can have patience. The problem is, it can foster fear if there is panic. That's your subline. It's faith if there's patience, but there's also fear if there's panic. And you put both those there. You could give us the patience. There you go. Thank you. Who decides this? Who decides which one of those you do? Fear or faith? You do. I don't think God likes me. I think God's punishing me. Wrong. Move forward. Move to the positive side. Number three. Secrets unlock. Secrets will get unlocked at times, or secrets will unlock something else. You ever gotten so far on something and you couldn't go any farther because you were missing a piece, missing a part? This happens to me when I cook. I'll get started. You know, some of you are very meticulous. You're very organized in details. I love that about you. God bless you for staying the way you are. Me? I think I'm going to cook. Run over to the fridge, grab a bunch of stuff. I start going. Bada, bada, bean, da, 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 da. Wait, no onions. Can't cook this without onions. Now I'm on my phone. DoorDash, please bring me onions. Ding, ding. Click. I can't go any farther with the cooking, so I have to step away from the cooking. All right, I'll go work on my sermon a little more. I'll go pay bills. I'll go weed the yard, whatever. Until the onions show up, then I can go back to cooking for a few more minutes, and then I realize I don't have tomatoes. Back on DoorDash, right? It's a little bit of exaggeration there. Secrets will unlock things for you. How? What would you need to unlock stuff? What would secrets need from you in order to unlock the things that you're stuck in? Obedience. I don't think you're going to have a good relationship with the Lord if you don't go to church. I doubt a good relationship with the Lord if you're praying once in a blue moon. I think your relationship with the Lord is directly tied to the effort you put into it. famous theologian, I can't remember his name, he said, your relationship with the Lord will only be as big as your view of him. Oh. Is he like that remote uncle that lives across the bay and you see him once and twice a year and good guy, I like him, but he has no effect on my life. Or you say, no, I'm gonna go spend time with him. In fact, I'm gonna go sleep at his house 3 nights a week. Instead of commuting from here to seminary, I'll commute from his house to seminary. And I'll do it for 2 semesters. And I'll bang out a bunch of classes, I'll save money on gas, but I'll get to spend time with Uncle Rich. How cool is that? Why did I have that idea? What's the secret behind that? What was the motivation? I don't know. I just did it. That secret unlocked something later? Did that secret reveal something later? Did my obedience to what I thought was maybe a leading to finish my seminary and involve him in part of the process, did it play out later? Absolutely, because 2 years later, after we start a church and I get my dream job as the soccer coach at Amador Valley varsity team, the week that we're supposed to start school, I get an invite to go to Israel with Mark Campbell. Oh, how amazing. Men's retreat for most years, this church have been with Mark Campbell. In fact, we've got one coming up end of April. Save the dates, the 25, 6, 7, something like that. 4, 5, 6, thank you. 24, 5, 6. Mark Campbell, The Peculiar Way, down in the Santa Cruz Hills. We're gonna have a beach day. And the food for the, 16 of us that went last year was amazing. Just amazing. I'm in Israel with Mark. I'm having experiences that are shaking my world. And my mom calls me at 3 in the morning. I'm so sorry, Scotty. Uncle Rich just passed. I'm on the other side of the planet. And all I could think is, now I know why I spent so much time with him. Now I knew why that worked out the way it did, because there were some parts of that I just was so upset about. Seminary wouldn't let me challenge a class, and they forced me to take something that required me to be there more, and then now how do I solve that? Hey, I'll go be with Uncle Rich, and now I know why that happened. Praise God for stupid rules at seminaries that pay out in amazing ways that you had no idea. I got more time with him than his own kids at the end. I have no idea how people can say God's not real. I've had too many experiences that are unexplainable other than he's there. Last one, what do secrets do? Secrets are, this might be my favorite. Okay, you put a star next to this and write Scott's favorite. What are they at best? What are secrets at best? They're temporary. You get an A. They're temporary. Yeah, I realize this. I've never thought about it before until like this week. I thought, wait a minute. Secrets are all temporary. And the more I thought about it, there are zero secrets that ever stay secret forever. In fact, the Bible makes us promises. Right now, you see dimly in a mirror as if you're not sure what the images are you see, and you can't even recognize yourself. But then, when we get to heaven, we will see face to face, like total clarity. Why'd so-and-so pass early? I don't want to answer that question. I don't let that be a secret till I get to heaven. But there's an answer. There's a reason certain things happen. There's a reason why my parents got divorced. There's a reason why I think the way that I do, that I'm not taller, whatever. Wish I was a baller. All that stuff. How important for me is it to have answers rather than follow and obey? I can do that better if I recognize, all I gotta do is wait. I'll just wait. I'll get my answer eventually. I love that. Just keep going. It's the tortoise and the hare. Forget the hare. What is it about the tortoise? Just take some time. And if I'll put in the time, eventually I'll reach the finish line. What are you stuck on? What are your big questions? I mean the ones you talk about with almost no one. The big question that God put there on purpose, that you might access him, that you might chase him down, that you might beg, plead, thank. It might help also to think to the past. What are the big solves he's done in your life that you can remember? Answers where something was finally revealed, and it relieved something. And he said, oh, he's real. He's absolutely real. What are those? And if you're new to this, if you still have yet to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and have yet to say, I get it now, and I want to get it more, and from now on, this day forward, you're in charge. You're my God. I dedicate my life to you. I accept your sacrifice on the cross. I acknowledge your power in conquering death in the resurrection. And I honor and glorify your position as God himself, right hand of the Father, through your ascension. It's a very complicated, long prayer. You could say it this way. Jesus, I'm in with you. However you want. If that's you, I want to know. That's why I'm here. We signed up for this gig. We want to help you. We want to support you. Okay? Lord, thanks for our time. Thanks for your word. Thank you that we need never fear the unknown. May we take comfort and confidence in the fact that you do have all the answers. There are no secrets to you. And what you keep from us, you do on purpose. And what you reveal to us, you give that we might do them, work with what we know and what we have. Give us each clarity on that in our own lives in specific ways. And then, Lord, for those who are accepting you for the first time, give them clarity on that too. Help us to support them as much as we can as a church. We thank you for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord. Pray that you would take it and use it. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. May your faith, your overwhelming, never-ending, reckless faith, trust, and love of God, may that faith be greater than your unknowns. Amen? Amen. Go with him.